Hello and welcome to Storyteller in Depth, a podcast where we go behind the scenes to learn more about the School of Communications, Media Arts and Designs, People, Places and Things. I'm your host, Pat Quigley. In today's episode, we have Tenaz Keshavarez, a 2017 graduate of the Script-to-Screen Advanced Television and Film program. Tenaz has experience in both screenwriting and casting, which brings an array of experience in this industry. Most recently, she has been selected to join the 23rd edition of the Real World Emerging 20 program, which is tailored to support writers in developing screenplays into a final draft. This is an incredible six-month experience, and she is currently working on her own series. This episode will give you a behind-the-scenes look at some of the responsibilities of a casting director, what being a screenwriter entails, advice for those entering either of these fields, and so much more. Let's dive into the interview. Thank you so much, Tenaz, for being on the podcast today.
Thank you for having me.
Yeah, it's going to be a lot of fun. We're going to dive into a lot of really cool stuff. But before we begin, can you share a little bit about your journey in the film and television industry and how you became a screenwriter and casting director?
Totally. So I came into this industry right after Centennial, and I'm like, I had no idea where to start, where to get to know people. I was in this new world. And one of the first things I did was I just need to go meet people. So I decided to volunteer on every Canadian Film Center production that I could find. And I had volunteered on 5 different productions in in the span of 2 weeks. But they were shorts, right? It was for their program, but it was a great way to meet new people, figure out what I'm into. Cause I knew I wanted to be a writer, but I was I knew that career path is a very long-term thing. And I just needed to go meet people and see how the industry kind of works. And at that point, my motto was I just want to learn anything I can, get to know people and just grasp every learning opportunity I can grab. So I met a lot of people on the Film Center. I got to read scripts. I got to meet these directors or writers who were kind of up and coming. Got to meet people on the crew. I was transport. I was catering assistant. I was PA. I was everything. And it was at that point where I realized, oh my God, I love this. I love this collaborative connection. I love how we're making something that is has meaning to it and it's going to be on scene on screen. So that's kind of where I kind of started. And then I found the casting through a working culture career ad. And the irony in all of that was that the person who was the casting director, I was applying for a casting assistant. She had known Steve, the program coordinator at Script-to-Screen. And it was kind of this coincidental thing where I was oh my God, they know each other. So I immediately messaged Steve because I was corresponding with him throughout, literally at the end of graduation, continuously corresponding with him. And he ended up recommending me to the casting director because I had come in with no experience, but still this drive and dedication to get into the industry. So he kind of pitched me to her in a sense after I did my interview. And then she gave me the chance and I became casting assistant. And where I worked there for 2 years. And then from there, I kind of wanted to transition into screenwriting. And then the pandemic hit, then I went back into casting. So, and then I worked as a casting associate for another casting director and worked on all these different projects. I worked on Working Moms, The Porter, sort of. So I got a really good grasp of pre-production and how to pick actors, scripts. I kept seeing incoming scripts, dealing with execs. So it was a great learning experience for me. And then now I'm kind of fully transitioned into more of the creative aspect and focusing on writing and also working as a literary associate for play management has been great too, because it's part of that screenwriting creative aspect. Yeah, that's a little bit. I feel like I remember.
No, not at all. I mean, it's so cool to find out just kind of your background and everything that you're doing. Because that's, you're doing a lot of stuff when it gets down to it. And like, of all the projects that you've worked on, what has been one of the most memorable moments that sticks out to you?
So when the pandemic hit, and then after I did, I was a casting associate for a year or two. I ended up, unfortunately, getting laid off, and then I got an opportunity to be a casting director myself on like a digital series. And that was a great experience. And that was kind of memorable because when I had gotten laid off, I was like, oh my God, like, where am I going to find my other job? It's still kind of the heat of the pandemic. Like, how am I going to like connect with people without being in person? So what I decided to do was like, I'm just going to cold email a bunch of production companies and see which one hits. And this one woman called me and she was like, hey, like, I know you want to get into the creative side and stuff like that, but you have a lot of casting experience. Would you like to like, you know, be a casting director for one of these digital series that we're working on? And at that point, I was like, oh, I don't know, like, do I have any experience? Do I have enough knowledge? Like, can I take on a project on my own? And she was able to kind of, you know, give me the confidence and to be like, no, like, you can do it. Like, you've worked under all these casting directors. You've learned the ropes. And I think this would be a great opportunity for you. And that's, and then she gave me the first opportunity as a casting director. And then from that specific project, I got recommended for all my other projects. Like, it was kind of like a word of mouth. And if it wasn't for her vouching for me, I wouldn't have gotten so many of these different opportunities. And then to kind of piggyback on that note, I casted Bria Matt Gets a Life, one of the best comedy series for CSA. I had cast in the 2 weeks for that show. But prior to it, it was, again, my first time kind of like doing a big series. And the team was so amazing. Like, I've never met such an amazing group of women and group of people that really weren't worried so much about how much experience I had, but if I was like connected to the project, if I was someone that they wanted to work with. And immediately, like, there was a point where like there was some pushback, if like, oh, can she really do it? Like, can she, because she doesn't have that much experience, are we taking a risk? It's always this conversation of, are we taking a risk? And the team on Bria Mac, one thing that they did for me was they went to bat for me. They vouched for me. They were like, no, she can do it. We want to take the risk on her. We met with her. We think that she's the best fit to find these leads. And again, if it wasn't for them giving me that opportunity, opening that door for me, I wouldn't have gotten this opportunity of casting the two leads. And that's kind of, those are two memorable experiences that always kind of keep in my head of like, the opportunities that I've gotten have been for where people have vouched for me and have opened doors for me and really thought that like I could do it, even when I thought I couldn't do it. And that to me is what like I've taken from now that I kind of gained some experience, that I never want to not give someone an opportunity just because they don't have a specific amount of experience. Like, you know, it's always about vouching for people, because then how are we going to open the doors, right? Like, that's kind of like something that stood out for me.
Well, for sure. I know that I don't think I'd have the career I do now if somebody didn't vouch for me way back down the road. Yeah. To where I am now. It was the same thing. It was a professor from Centennial College who reached out to a supervisor with a company that I was working with. Mm-hmm. And they're like, you need to give him a chance. Like, honestly, he's one of the best at doing this kind of stuff. So please, please give him a chance. And, you know, the supervisor later down the road came back and was like, you know what? That was one of the reasons why we did hire you, is because this professor, this person vouched for you.
Yeah, exactly.
So it's definitely one of the greatest lessons that I impart. And I, you know, it's wonderful to hear that you do too, that, you know, make those connections when you're going to these places, because they're just so valuable, right?
Exactly. And you never know, right? Like you know, I think most of the jobs I've gotten have been just showing how dedicated and how driven I am to get the work done. Like, even if I don't necessarily know it, I'll do anything and everything to figure out how to do it. Learn from other people, you know, and do my own research. And I think that hunger and drive can take you far.
Mm-hmm. Oh, for sure. So we're going to continue talking about the casting side of your career. Can you walk us through your approach to casting and give us an inside look on the day-to-day responsibilities of a casting director when you're working on a project?
Mm-hmm. Totally. So one of the biggest things that you start when you're doing casting is that when you do get a show, the first thing you do, you want to talk to like the producers, writers, and the creatives about like, okay, so what are you looking for in this role? Like, what is something that you really need to stand out? And then from there, you kind of take that. And then when you start kind of creating your, like what we do is like we create our character breakdowns, right? Where we kind of just like we do different descriptions or specifics that are important to this character. And then we take that and we put it on like our casting softwares, whether it's Breakdown Express is one of them, Casting Workbook is one of them. Or we also love to like put it on social media because again, like there's like a huge vast of talent that is untapped and not everyone is necessarily in these programs. So you want to really kind of look everywhere, especially if you're casting for a show and you're looking for series leads, because these series leads are the ones that are going to take you throughout the show. So you really want to look everywhere. So basically how we start is again, collaborate with we find out what the creatives are looking for, implement that when we're looking at different actors, submissions, whether that's on social media or any of these casting software. And then what I would do is like, I would make a short list of who I think might be right for this role. And for me, my thing is, I don't necessarily, like how we were just talking about, I don't necessarily look at how much experience this person has. Oh, they've been on this show, they've been on that show, they've been on that show. I do look at that, but I also love to leave room to give opportunity to people who are new and fresh, who are just coming maybe out of film school or maybe coming out of acting school and then coming out of different workshops and this and that, because it gives them the opportunity to really get into a character that they've never done, and it gives them training, and it also gives me the opportunity to see fresh voices, and you never know, it might hit. And then from there, like I will basically request, nowadays it's all self-tapes, not really like in-person auditions, unfortunately, but they both work well, like self-tapes and auditions, they work well for me, since because of the pandemic, all I've done really is self-tapes. That's just been the most accessible to me. But basically, like I would request self-tapes, they would submit them. I'd look at, probably sometimes I've looked at 300 to 500 takes and kind of make a short list of my own to send to the creator and directors or producers. And then what I would do is I create a link for them and then I'll submit that link and then they'll look at it. And then we'll kind of have a meeting about like, okay, so these are the people that they loved. Maybe if they didn't necessarily hit with any of these actors, then we'll go back and like re-look for these characters, or we'll add like maybe notes for the actors, or maybe like we'll start doing callbacks. So it's like, that's kind of how the early stages of like how the process kind of logistically works.
Wow. So it's a really full process when it gets down to it.
Yeah. It's both like a creative process and both also like a logistic process. Like it's very like intertwined. And one thing, because you're getting so many tapes at once, it's sometimes so hard to keep track. What I love to do is like, the good thing about these softwares is that it's like easily like for actors to upload them, and then you kind of get a whole link for yourself and then you kind of go through them. But then like with the social media, when you're going for like a big casting call, it's always so good to have like one email dedicated to all those tapes so you don't miss anything. And yeah, so it's like, it can be a long process, and usually you got to give yourself like a couple of days to really look at these tapes and really kind of take in, especially when you're dealing with like main characters or series leads, because you really got to look at like, okay, can this like actor, is this actor really getting what the creators are looking for in this role? Can we push them further, maybe, right? Like, you want to find, what I love to find in these tapes is like authenticity. What do they bring that I necessarily didn't see in this character? And that's what really kind of makes you stand out as an actor, right? Like, if you really bring in something unique, or you did your own character analysis of the character and you bring something around, like, oh, I didn't catch that. Oh, that's actually really interesting that they added. So that's kind of like, yeah, we look at.
So what's something somebody might not expect about casting somebody for a role?
That's it. So I would say, basically, just to piggyback again on like what I was saying, was like, basically one thing that people sometimes are timid, can be intimidated if they don't have that much experience. And I always say, don't feel intimidated, like, auditioning for that role, because you never know what might come out of it. I think that was one thing that not a lot of people know, is that it's, for me specifically, I don't want to speak to other casting directors, but for me specifically, it's not about how many shows you've been on, or how many movies you've been on, or even how much training is a big thing, but like, basically, it's not necessarily that. It's about what you bring to this character that really brings that character alive. Whether it's like a little, the way you kind of deliver your lines, or whether it's like doing a little bit of a kind of ad lib on your own. Sometimes people do that in comedy. So never feel like, oh, I don't know if I'm right for this role, because it's like, you know, it's really big, or like, I don't know if this is like, you know, necessarily, maybe I need more time. No, like there's always room for people who don't necessarily have the linear acting experience and stuff like that. Like, for example, I'll give an example. Actually, I was this one actor. I just did a feature film that's going to come out about like music in Toronto, and it's really about showcasing Toronto and all of its kind of way. It's about these two characters who kind of go through a little journey around Toronto. Can't give too much away. But there was this one character, it was very hard to find. Like, we were like looking everywhere, and then we were like, okay, no, let's just post this on social media. Like, that's kind of, like, I think we'll find it there. Post it on social media. We put it on different like job boards, different college programs, and put it everywhere. And there was this one guy, he fresh out of like George Brown, and he did an audition like in like, I think it was like in a study room of like George Brown. And I watched this tape and I was like, oh my God, this is fantastic. Like, the way he just delivered his lines, the character was supposed to be like somebody who is he's kind of going to be like the villain technically in the show, in the movie. And he's like a kind of like a, like somebody who like will mooch off you, if you know what I mean. Like, it would be somebody who's kind of like manipulating people. And this guy did such an amazing job of enhancing that manipulation and enhancing that like kind of character of like how this person would react to certain things, whether that be through the facial expression, whether that be the way he delivers lines or uses kind of like his body in the acting audition. And I was like, oh my God, like, that was, this guy is good. So we sent that, and I was like telling the creators, you gotta look at this guy, he's so good. And like, we immediately brought him in a callback. He just brought like a spark to that character, a freshness to that character. It was raw, but like authentic, but like real at the same time, if you get what I mean. And it was like out of the blue. Like, and then we were talking to him and he was just like, yeah, like just came out of George Brown. Like, I'm about to graduate. Like, he was hadn't graduated yet. Like, he was going to graduate that June or something. And it was one of those amazing experiences of finding someone that is talented, but not necessarily would have been seen, right? And the first thing I did was I talked to him and I was like, you need to get yourself an agent. Like, you know, you have something so interesting, so unique. And like, I want that to be shown throughout. And it's about, and then, you know, he got the role and he was, it's a supporting lead role. One, his first role in a feature. Wow. Just out of George Brown. And wow. Yeah.
Well, that's going to be exciting when it comes out. I can't wait to see it and get to know, hey, I got to talk to you and got to know the process behind this guy before he got there. That's so cool.
Oh, I can't wait.
Yeah.
It should be coming out.
So switching. Oh, sorry.
It should be coming out soon. I'll let you know.
Well, okay. All right. So we're going to switch gears to the screenwriting side of your career. Can you explain a bit about your creative process and how you approach writing?
Yeah, totally. So, with my writing, like I feel like I'm one of those writers who like are just like has a notebook in their hand and just like whenever an idea comes to me. So I usually start with my biggest thing is like I love to start with characters. Like if I have an idea of some sort, I really want to first focus on the characters. I mean, some people would say, you know, don't do that. But I feel like the first thing that draws attention to me creatively are characters, and I love to flesh them out prior to even like figuring out what the story of this pilot is gonna look like, what the series is gonna look like. I'm like, what characters do I feel that I want to talk about? Because nowadays a lot of things are character driven and everyone relates to characters that are humanized, and you really want to make sure that your characters are not just characters that are just there or not active. Like, you really want to make them feel real. You want to make them feel like they're coming off the page. So I love to focus on that first. So what I do is, like, I have, like, for example, like, I'll give a little bit of example of, like, a script that I'm working on now or working on. I'm working on a new thing, and I'm, like, going through that process right now. So I had an idea and I was like, okay, what is this idea going to look like? Who are my characters going to be? What are their flaws going to be? What are their perspectives on the world going to be? How are they going to act? How are they going to react? Are these two like best friends? Are they not? Like, is this going to be like someone's going to be a villain throughout the show? Like, I kind of go through all these different obstacles of what my characters are going to look like. I flesh that out. And then from there, I think, okay, then I put them aside. I put them aside and I look, okay, what is going to be what's the story that I want to tell? I want to tell a story about, let's say, I'm trying to think. I want to tell a story about two best friends like on a journey together. Okay. So then I kind of go and like nuance that. And I figure out for a series, for example, like I figure out what is going to be my pilot storyline. What are we first going to see? And what is the hook of this show? And then once I figure out all those different layers, then I kind of go into what I wouldn't say like a structured outline, because I'm not really somebody who loves to outline. It's not really a process. But what I will do is like I'll beat sheet it out and see like how is my first, what are the beats in my pilot? And do people see where the show's going to go? And then from there, I kind of maneuver and kind of start looking at writing a script, and I would call it like my vomit script. Like, what is that kind of gonna look like? And then I give it a few days and then I go back and I kind of finesse it. And the biggest things that I want to make sure I have is like I have my character fleshed out, I have a conflict that's going to drive the show. What is the pilot of the story? What's the story of the pilot? And then what is that question that I'm trying to, what's that thematic question that I want the audiences to look for? And that's kind of my messy process as a writer.
So where do you get like your inspiration from? Do you get it from like experience for yourself, or do you kind of have scenarios that you're thinking of? Like, how do you get that experience? How do you get that that thought process?
I do a little mixture. Like, I get a lot of it from my personal experience, but at the same time, I don't necessarily want it to be like full on pulling my like story, like life story. Like, I just take little glimpses of my experience. So for example, right now, the voice that I'm kind of tailored to right now is like coming of age stories about being 18 or 19 and being in that transitional period of like, you're out of high school, but you're also not an adult. And how does that look like? So that's kind of where my focus is at right now. So I kind of go back to my own experience of being 18, how I felt, or certain scenarios that I've encountered. So, and then I'll take that and go, okay, how do I kind of put that into a story? And sometimes my inspiration sometimes comes from different shows, right? Like, I'll watch different shows and be like, wow, like, he did this so good. Like, I need to read that script. I need to see how they did it. And, or sometimes my inspiration comes from watching crime doc sometimes, like, you know, depending on like what genre I'm looking at. So it's kind of a mixture. Like, it's a mixture of like my own experience, but also a mixture of like watching different shows and what kind of connected with me, how they did it, and what can I do in a similar genre but through a different lens, and how do I kind of finesse that. So yeah, that's kind of where my inspiration stems from.
Is there something you wish you would have known when you first started writing scripts that you know now?
I'm trying to think. There's so many. I think one thing that I wish I knew when I first wrote one of my very first scripts out of school was that every scene needs an intention. Every scene matters. You cannot just like throw in a scene for the sake of like, oh, this scene like feel looks good, or it there's something that's like, it has to you have to say something with the scene, because the scene has to move the story forward. So what I love to do now is like, I look at a scene and be like, do we really need this scene? And being open to cutting that scene for the sake of the story. And I think that was something I didn't really take in when I was initially writing before. I was just kind of writing. And I was kind of writing from a plot point rather than a story point. And that's something now I'm really like focused on doing. Every little thing has to mean something and has to somehow bring us to the end.
Wow. So, okay. I think I understand like where it's going, and yeah, screenwriting's so cool. Honestly, it was not something that I could get into when I went into the broadcasting and film section with Centennial, but you know, hearing other people just be so, it's their passion, like yourself. It's your passion to do this kind of stuff. So it's cool to hear that.
Thank you. Yeah. It's like, it's interesting. 'Cause like sometimes we think it's, oh, like I want to tell this story, and then when you write it into a screenplay, it's very difficult to navigate. There's so many challenges that come with it. But one thing that I've learned is that watch all the shows that you love, watch all of that, and really and analyze it. Like every scene is so, it's filled with so much intention, and it's there for a reason. And that's something I didn't really. I kind of brushed off at first early on until now when I've written like a lot of bad scripts and then read good scripts. And I was like, oh, okay. So this means something, that means something, that means something. And the best example of that is like, so many, like there is like Yellow Jackets, for example. I'll use that because I love that show. Every scene, there was a reason in the pilot. There was a reason for every scene. There was a reason why we needed to see the girls in a specific way, because it mattered to this overall story, because we get little breadcrumbs of what's about to happen. And then by the end, you're like, oh, yeah, like, oh, this is why. And it's all about answering that why. Scenes have to answer that why. And it's like, if you can, and the only way to really do that is to write that vomit script and then go back and really be intentional and really look at your scenes with, is this, and asking yourself, is this moving the story forward? Can I explain this scene to someone and say why it matters? If not, take it out.
Some good advice. Some really good advice. And one, something that's really, really cool, and we've got to bring it up, is you've been selected to join the 23rd edition of the Real World E20 program. This is a 6-month program to help those selected polish screenplays into a final draft, either for film or series. And you're among the series group. So can you first share your thoughts on being selected back in April? And can you share a little of the details behind the series you're developing and what you're most looking forward to at the end of the day?
Yeah, totally. So I was so excited when I got accepted. I've been applying for this specific program. I think I applied 4 to 5 times. And this was the time I actually like bought my application successfully like into the program. And I was so excited. I was like, yes, like, you know, I've always wanted to be in this program. I used to follow this program for a while. But one thing I did was like, I'm going to apply. I'm going to make sure that I have my script in a first draft ready to go before I apply. So there were a couple of times where I'm like, so I wanted to make sure I did that. And then it gave myself 2 to 3 months to really focus on like applying to this program. So I was really excited. And it's been a great experience. I've been in it for a couple of, I've been in it since, it's been two months now. And it's been amazing. Great experience. I feel like my script is getting there. And to tell you a little bit about the series I'm developing, I'll say this. It's Promising Young Woman meets Pretty Little Liar in the world of sororities and fraternities. And that's, I'll leave it at that. And it's like a murder mystery thriller.
Okay. Wow. That's going to be interesting. How long is it going to be? A series? Is it going to be a film?
It's going to be a series. It's going to be 1 hour. Okay. Yeah. And And I've always loved the genre. I love horror. So, and I love murder mystery. So I kind of wanted to incorporate that when I was writing it. So, yeah, I'm going to leave it at that for now because it's not fully done.
Well, I'm sure that all those listening are going to keep an eye on that and keep an eye on your name for when it does come out. And they're like, hey, we listened to that podcast and now we got to see the final work of that. So, yeah.
Totally. Let's put it in the universe.
Yeah. So you're a 2017 graduate of the Centennial Script to Screen Advanced Television Film Program, which is now entering its 10th year, which is incredible. Mm-hmm. How has the program helped propel you into your career? And what was your favorite part?
Yeah. So there's so many things that helped me, like that program helped me. One thing was the fact that we were able to do our own shorts. I think that was an amazing experience because you really got a little glimpse of like what it takes to make any like a short film, or because all of that can apply to feature series. There's always so many elements to it. It's not as easy as like, you know, when people watch on screen, when they watch film and TV, they're like, oh, wow, this is so great. It like, you know, feels so polished, but like there's so many mechanics that go into it. And I feel like the one thing that the program had taught me was about those mechanics and about how you have to work as a team. It's not like a one person job. It's not a one person project. It's a group of people coming together and making a project come to life. And these little short films that we did kind of allowed me to like experience that and be like, oh, okay, I need to adapt in a way where I have to be collaborative with people. I have to be open to communication. There's a lot of things that go into making a project. And one thing that I took from that was like, I need to know every aspect of this industry that when I do become a writer, a working writer, that I understand these different departments, that I'm not just like in one world and be like, oh, no, I don't need to know like these words. No. What I wanted to do was I wanted to learn all these different aspects. So that's what I kind of made sure I did when I was in the program. And that's what it taught me, to really understand all these different departments and how they all play a role. And then another thing that the program taught me is that, so we have this short film that we do, one short film. We all do our little short films for our program, for our directing course. We have that one big final short film where we take a script, and then that's the script that we're going to make. And I was initially, when I was in the program, I was so excited for that. Like, I was like, oh, like I want to be big on my screen for it, you know, like I'm pretty sure everybody had the same kind of thought. But I was at that point, I really knew that I wanted to be a writer. Like, I want to be a writer in this industry. I want to really be in that creative world. And then when my script didn't get picked in the program, it was like heartbreaking for me a little bit. I kind of get like emotionally. But one thing it taught me though, and I'll take this throughout my entire, I think that was the best thing that ever happened to me, because it taught me rejection. It taught me that as a writer, you are going to be constantly thrown rejection, and you have to have a thick skin for it. You have to be able to understand that it's not you. It's not necessarily you. It's not necessarily your experience, not necessarily your story. There's sometimes this just happens. And that doesn't mean that you stop doing it. That doesn't mean you take it emotionally. You have to gain a thick skin and keep moving, keep going. You know, someday, somewhere will take your script. Or maybe you just have to put that aside and keep working. It's about consistency, right? So the biggest thing that this program has taught me is how to deal with rejection and how to keep going and keep dedicated to the craft. And it's all about consistency. Because after that, I went in and realized there was a lot of rejection. And I always come back to that one moment in the program where I experienced that firsthand. And it was... And thankfully I did, because I experienced that in a program, and I experienced how to deal with it. And I was able to still be very collaborative. I still was like part of the, I was still very supportive of the short film. I was willing to make sure that this short film comes to life. But it really taught me that, like, you need to have a thick skin. And I was like, that was the best thing that ever happened. I'm actually so happy my script never got picked, because I wouldn't have been where I am today, because every single day it's fueled with rejection. And you have to be able to take it like with a smile on your face, and you have to be positive about it. And I think that was the biggest thing. And if you want to be a writer, that's what you're going to be dealing with majority of the time. And then when that one thing hits, it's like such a humbling experience, such a great experience. You really feel that. So that's one thing. That's one of the biggest things I took from the program, was how to deal with rejection and still keeping to the craft and still being driven and dedicated.
You mentioned at the beginning of the podcast about how you stayed in contact with Steve Lucas. Yeah. And you know, how valuable was that for you to continue making the connections with instructors and peers? And do you still stay connected with these people today?
Yeah, so I still speak to Steve. He actually attended my wedding. I kept in contact with him, because I felt like he really understood me as a writer. And I really wanted to keep in touch with him and like still learn from him and like be able to like keep that open conversation going and still keep me connected. I still say that like whatever that program needs, I'll totally come and help. And it was a valuable experience, because building that connect with Steve was helped me get my first job in the industry. Like, he vouched for me, recommended me basically. And if it wasn't for that, I honestly don't think I would have gotten in that position, because again, like, I didn't have that much experience. So that was amazing. And I still keep in contact. Like, I tell him, you know, I tell him like what I'm working, like what I'm doing, any projects that I'm working on, because he really helped guide my career, and he really helped me understand this industry. I learned how to write a story from first, you know. I learned how to understand directing from George, right? I learned a lot about editing. Like, it was just things that were such valuable experiences to me and skills that I don't think I would have learned without them. And I wanted to make sure I kept in contact with them because there are people who are also working in the industry, right? You want to keep connect with people, even if they're your program coordinators, because they're still working, you know, and they still have connects. And you want to make sure that, you know, if someone had asked them, oh, do you know somebody that could do this or that, you know, they can recommend you. In terms of peers, I do keep in contact with, like, one of my best friends came out of that program. And she's not in the industry, but, you know, we kept in contact. Another friend of mine, too, you know, we keep in contact as well. Not necessarily in the industry. But yeah, like, you know, I still keep in contact with some people. There's one that has a podcast as well. So I've been on his podcast and came on the program as well.
I still have a couple notes from Steve from way back when I took screenwriting classes at Centennial. And every so often I find them and I go, oh, yeah, that's how I write a story. And although I'm not in that side of the field anymore, there's still things that translate into my work today that help me still tell stories in a different way. So, you know, Steve was a awesome teacher, and I'm glad that you still have an amazing relationship with him, and that's so cool.
Thank you.
Yeah. So looking ahead, what genres or storylines are you most interested in one day exploring that you haven't yet?
Oh, that's a good one. Like I said, I love horror. Love horror. So my biggest thing that I really want to do is I want to do a genre horror slasher feature. And that's my next. Right now I'm focused on series writing, but one thing, I want to get that horror film out. Like, I love horror, and I really want to go into that world hopefully at one point. So that's my next, like, I'm going to get that slasher horror out.
Awesome. Well, Tanaz, it was wonderful to meet you and chat with you today. So thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. It's great.
Thank you so much, Tanaz, for being on the podcast. It was so great hearing your experience and all the amazing advice you had as well. We're also so glad that we could celebrate the 10-year anniversary of the Script to Screen program with Tanaz. If you liked this episode, be sure to catch up on all the other ones if you haven't already. Until next time, I'm your host, Pat Quigley, and this is Storyteller in Depth.